Hi, Potters! Greetings from Dragon Con! Well, we're actually not at Dragon Con.
Why did you say that? Oh my god.
Because you made me start the show. I'm going to start it whatever way comes to the front of my brain.
You're just doing that to torture me.
No, to be fair, there were Groots at Dragon Con. Many, many, many of them. And many of them did the dance.
There were even plant Groots.
Yes, I have seen videos. I have even seen little children Groots doing the dance on video.
Since I have my camera set up for continuous shooting, I'm tempted to go through and take all those images and make like GIFs or GIFs, however you want to say it. Because a lot of them are like continuous motion where it's like almost perfect, like GIF-like.
So it's like those old flip books you had as a kid where you would draw the different stages and then you'd flip through it. Those are awesome. Oh, I feel like a kid again.
I know. I just need to have the time to do it. Questionable.
Time. See what's become of me. Yes, I know.
Exactly. So, yay! Welcome to the episode, guys. And hey, today the Q&A app is actually working. So if you're watching us, you can actually ask questions or comment on stuff. And we promise we'll be...
And we'll see it.
And we'll see it this time. We will actually see it this time. Hooray!
Woo! Yep, I actually have it open right now so I can keep an eye on it. So that way you guys can chat with us and ask us questions. Well, you can ask Val questions about Dragon Con. Most of my segment today is going to be show and tell.
Which is fine. We like show and tell.
I've been productive.
Yay, productive!
Which in cosplay is a really good thing when you're in down season. Because we only have one more con this year, guys, that we're going to, and that's Anime North Texas.
Yep.
And that's not until mid-November?
Mid-November.
I think it's the 14th through 16th this year. It's that weekend.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is late again this year. Go figure.
I hate that. I hate that. The whole Thanksgiving moving around thing confuses the crap out of me. Same thing with Easter. I don't get the Easter thing moving around. Didn't he die like on a certain day and then rise on a certain day, or am I just, I don't know.
I don't mind. It just ends up throwing off my end-of-year schedule a little bit.
Yeah. It's confusing. That's all it is. It's just confusing.
At any rate, this is going to be a very Dragon Con-centric episode, because Dragon Con is so huge, it gets its own episode's worth of review. And if you guys have not dropped by our Facebook, pictures are slowly trickling into our album, and we see there have been a few viewers who have already seen it. But if you have not, head over to our Facebook. There is an album dedicated to Dragon Con 2014, and you are welcome to have a look through it, tag people if you see them, comment on them, and like them if you so wish.
And for my case, I'm at the point where I have taken over 2,000 plus photos. I just don't have the time to really sort through them like I normally would with convention photos, so I have gone into I don't care mode and have done batch edits, which basically means everything is being resized to something that's more internet friendly, as well as putting our watermark on it. That's it. And I'm just uploading them in mass. So if you go to our Flickr page, which is also linked on our Facebook, it'll have the entire album. Everything on Facebook is just going to be cosplay related, but if you want to see like other things like the aquarium, because I have so many aquarium pics, holy crap, and just other sites around Atlanta, go to the Flickr page and you'll see everything there. Anything that has like really weird like lens flares or obviously are very, very blurry, I removed them. But for the most part, I stopped caring, so everything's getting uploaded. Enjoy!
They'll also be linked on our homepage at cosplay.org by end of this weekend. Mostly, I just needed the links.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be updated.
Yay! Yes. Lots of photos. Oh, my God. My camera did not stop going. And I'm at... You know how my memory card got jacked up at GlitchCon? Thought I had fixed it. Apparently, I did not because it crapped out on me during the middle of the parade. So glad I brought my backup because now that other one is being disposed of as we speak. Yeah. Which sucks. At least I was able to save all the photos. I wasn't concerned about photos. No video this time. Lots of photos. So many photos. I cannot stress the number of photos I have taken. It's ridiculous.
Well, normally I'm the video person of the two of us. At least I take the vid.
I didn't even want to try.
Eventually we will be getting a new rig to be able to take photo and video, hopefully, equally well. So we will be looking at the Canon 7D this season. Holiday season is coming up, so I'm mostly waiting to see what Black Friday has to offer. Simply because, yeah, I'm probably going to be buying a house by December 1st.
Right.
And that's a little higher financial priority than buying a new rig for Cospod. No offense, just, listeners.
Just a smidge. I mean, my head. Place to live is kind of important.
And a place to cosplay.
Yeah. Place to cosplay, really important. So before we roll into DragonCon stuff, let's do first what Amber has been working on over the past week and a half while I haven't been around.
Everything.
All the things.
All the things.
Labor Day sales. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, so 10 yards of upholstery fabric. Yeah, this is upholstery velvet. Bought this from Golden
Ore. That's good stuff. I don't care what people say. Upholstery fabric makes fantastic costume stuff.
The nice thing is that it has a nice backing. You can probably see a little of it on camera. This isn't the nasty white stuff that you see on the backs. This is self-woven backing, which means it's nice and sturdy, and it's thin. Now, granted, I'm still going to have to line it. That's just the nature of the costume. This is actually for my Elven Ranger costume I'm making for Texas Renaissance Festival next month. And because I'm making a matching cloak and overcoat, I had to get 10 yards of this stuff, and then another 10 yards of broadcloth, and I think I got 6 yards of knit so I can make a shirt and pants. Because elves have to be well clothed. And oddly enough, South Texas gets very cold and very hot at the same time. Or at least on the same day. So I have to dress for both. So I spent Labor Day doing a lot of shopping itself. But I also ended up doing some spray painting. You see how lovely and shiny, shiny, shiny it is. And it actually reflects light because it's reflecting light on my monitor. It's so pretty. It actually blinded me when I was painting it because I was painting outside with the sun and it reflected the sun in my face. It's very, very shiny paint. What can I say? And you can actually see the details.
It looks very shiny.
It is, and I ended up getting drips of spray paint in a couple of places. So if you hold it in the right light, you can actually see the drips. And thanks to Nick for helping me out with, you know, technique for trying to minimize the drips, because I could not get rid of them. They're still there. Because more or less what you have to do is you have to wet sand it down and then repaint it. And given the shape of this and how intricate some of the parts are, some of the drips are in areas where I cannot sand it down. I would have had to do that earlier. So some of it I just kind of had to leave as is. You know, I'll live. It's a costume. It's not my best work, but it's a heck of a lot better than what I had. So I painted that, and then you can see how the bracelet turned out. The gems are not affixed. I have not hot glued them on yet. They're held on by double stick tape for right now. But you can see it's a really nice gold. I like this gold. There's that. And then likewise with the choker, which this one is only a single layer of styrene over foam so that it's still flexible, so I can actually put it around my neck and wear it instead of, you know, magic having to somehow happen to get it on me and off me. So I will be hot gluing the gems on later this weekend. And this is what I used for the paint. This is Rust-Oleum. This is their metallic accents line. No, they're not paying me for this because this stuff is expensive and I had to pay a pretty penny to get it. But it's totally worth it. Because this is love. Their gold is so good. I refuse to use the Krylon gold anymore. This stuff is just king of the golds. Their silver is really good too. So, I did a whole bunch of painting. And then I did more painting. You see my Legolas dagger is half and half at the moment, and that's because I tried spray painting the blade, and you may be able to see on camera how terrible the grain is.
Oh yeah, I can see it going from, yeah.
You can see the wood grain really badly. So I ended up having to gesso the part that will be seen so that I can sand it down so it hides the wood grain, so it doesn't quite look so amateurish.
Woody?
Yes, so it does not look woody. So I will be sanding this down and repainting today. And you can see that I did the handles, which, given the EVA foam, they have this nice mottled look to them that mimic wood. So I did a little bit of wood graining. It's really subtle. It's difficult to see on cam, but you can see it in person, the wood graining. So it looks kind of like real wood from about 10 feet, which is all that matters.
10-foot rule, very important.
Yep. I did that to both of these. So there was more painting to be done. For those who saw me grumbling on Facebook about having to cut out filigree pieces, That's because I had to do it with this. I had to cut this out multiple times out of paper. And because of the intricacy, yeah, I can't just X-Acto knife this. I had to take manicure scissors to it. So if you ever saw me grousing about filigree bits, it's because I had to work with this stuff. And what it ended up turning into was this. And you can kind of see how the silver filigree fits in there.
Yeah, no, you can definitely see it. It looks nice.
And so what it will end up doing, which side? It goes on this side. This is why I only had to paint part of the wood, is because the gold will cover up most of it. So I don't even have to paint the parts under the gold. I don't have to worry about it because you won't see it. So I didn't gesso that part. I only gessoed the part that comes out beyond the gold. So eventually it will look like that. And I did enough for both sides. And at the moment I'm working on the sheaths. They're sitting on the counter that you guys can't see. Those are sitting on my table awaiting my scroll saw's attention. So I did that. And then the last thing I did, look how productive I was.
This was insanely productive for you.
I started doing the patterning. You can see I did the decorative bits for the sheets. You see all the nice, lovely scroll work that I did on there with pen that I had to ink in. Oh, artists, I feel for you now, because inking is a pain in the butt.
Yes, it is. It is a massive pain in the butt.
So I did the scroll work for that one, and I had to bring out all my show and tell stuff. Then I had to make samples of all the different pieces of scroll work so I could see which one I liked best. So I did, you know, one of those, and I did one of those, I did one of those, I did one of those. All sorts of elven work so I could see what I wanted to do, because it's not like you can sit there and search elven embroidery and there's elven embroidery out there. There's really not. The only stuff that I had reference to was from Lord of the Rings. And thank you, Alley Cat Scratch. The website is a wonderful, wonderful reference for searching Lord of the Rings stuff. And so now you can see how ornate this is going to end up being. This is the corset sketch-up pattern. Oh, the loopies. So many loopies.
It needs more loopies. More loops. Yes, Squirrel.
This is the front portion of the bodice. There are more loopies. There are so, so many loopies. And they will be done with fabric paint, because I suck at embroidering for one, and because it would take me probably about 5 years to do all of that in embroidery, because I suck at embroidery. But I made sure that I did a test first on a little piece so I could see the fabric paint, so I could make sure that I can bend this every which way and fold it and do everything short of licking it to make sure that the fabric paint was actually going to stay the way it's supposed to be. And it does, remarkably. So I really like that stuff. The tulip stuff is really good. So there will be many, many loopies. Many, 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 many loopies. So that's going to be future work. First I have to finish the sheaths on the knives. Then I have to cut out the pieces. Then I get to do all the loopy work, which I have to do before I sew it all together. So there will be more productive weekends, and there has to be since I start Symphony next month. And then right after Symphony is Texas Renaissance Festival, which is what the costume is for. So I have to be done by then. And then right after Texas Renaissance Festival, I go on call again.
So basically we need to be as productive as possible.
Over the next month.
ASAP.
Yes, so basically every night when I come home from work after I'm done working out, it's cosplay time. Oh yeah, nice. I forgot. I forgot one piece. This is the prettiest one.
Yeah, that one is shiny. It is like uber shiny.
You can see all the detailed bits. This is the front of the corset. And there's lots of gems, because I like gems.
Because we need more shinies, duh.
Yes, and actually I found out later that I didn't cut this flush. Oh. If I set it on a table, both ends are supposed to sit flat against the table. That way it's, you know, flush.
Right.
Well, one of the ends is not.
Oops.
And so I actually have to, I measured out a piece of Eva foam that I have to actually attach to one of the sides to make it flush. That way the corset attaches evenly around my body, which I'm very sad. The cam system is not going to work on this. And that's merely because I did not work it in early enough when I was making the corset. I would have had to, I'm trying to put this double stick tape down that was on the inside of the corset. There. I would have had to bend the ends in further for the cam system to work because the cams want to be flat. They want to be flush, not at an angle. Cams don't work if they're at an angle. Well, the corset sits on me at an angle. That was my bad. The system is good, I just didn't implement it correctly. So I'm just going to use regular straps and snaps. I hope. If this works the way that it does in my head. Nothing usually works the way it does in my head.
It's okay. Stuff happens.
Yep, it does. So there's my corset down. I just have to remember not to step on it. That has been my productive last 2 weeks.
That's a lot of stuff, lady. You should be proud of yourself. Usually you don't get a whole lot done because of work and all this stuff and studying and whatnot.
Yeah, I ended up taking my exam that I was studying for on Thursday, and I did pass. I had 93%, so I was nice and solid on that exam. So that now that that is done, now I don't have as much to worry about studying. I am taking another much, much, much harder test at end of this month. So probably the week before that test, there will be nothing done. Absolutely nothing with cosplay. I will spend every night studying for probably a good 2 or 3 hours. Because I have to pass this test. Because $600 is a lot of money to lose if you don't.
Which is why I stopped studying for those things. Because, man, they get expensive.
They do, but I would double my salary if I pass it. So, doubling your salary, that's a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah, back when I used to start doing those tests and I was Microsoft certified and all that, it came out straight of my bank account. None of the companies I worked for paid for any of it, and it really didn't guarantee you anything. It was just, hey, I have this. Cool. You probably won't get a raise out of it. Well, fudge. Okay, then. Now it makes a difference, but back when they first started them, they didn't care.
Oh, this cert will. Oh, also, just so that I can say I'm MacGyvering certified, I actually, to make all of those swirly patterns, I basically had to freehand them onto poster board first while staring at it, which I did for long periods of time, so I could probably memorize a few of them. But I made my own light box. I took a shoebox, one of those old Walmart shoeboxes, and then I had an old fruit jar that I cleaned out and was just sitting on my stove, and then I stuck my little flashlight in it, my little LED flashlight, upside down so it was pointing up. And then I took the glass frame from a regular picture frame that was empty. I took the glass pane, I stuck it on top of the shoebox and turned the flashlight on. And I had a light box for tracing. The only trouble with it, though, is that these are extremely bright if you look directly at them. So every time I moved the paper off the glass pane, I would blind myself because the flashlight would be shining directly in my eyes since I was looking straight down at the light box when I was tracing. So I had to pay attention to how I was moving my paper. So that I only blinded myself 4 times before I finally got the hang of it. And it was one of those moments where I wasn't completely blind, but I would look up and there were spots across my vision, so I couldn't trace anymore because there were spots across my vision. So, yeah. Do as I say, not as I do.
But you know what? Grant Imahara would be very proud of you because you got something.
It entirely worked for what I needed it to do once the spots cleared for my vision. It worked magnificently. I didn't have to buy anything. I had everything on hand, and I can always reassemble it if I need it. However, now I have to make those into templates.
Because yeah, have fun with that.
I have to trace directly onto the fabric the patterns that I'm going to sketch out because I cannot freehand those. I can freehand them from the computer because I'm only doing it once, but since I have to do it twice, I can't do it consistently. Because I'm a human being, not a computer. And I looked at transfer paper, and transfer paper would be me doing filigree times 10 for each side. And I looked at that and went, screw that. Nope.
That's not happening. No, thank you. Uh-uh.
There will be X-Acto knives involved in the template making process. And Sharpies.
Lots of Sharpies.
Well, hopefully only one Sharpie. The only reason I use a Sharpie is because it will evenly make the lines larger. So it's consistent, and then I can just trace around the Sharpie and go, okay, here. Yeah.
Woo! Do not envy you. I understand your pain.
I want to wood burn it so much, because that would be even slimmer than the Sharpie, but not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Oh, well. It's okay. You'll make do. You'll be fine.
It will look magnificent when it's done.
Absolutely.
If it works out the way it does in my head.
We're going to assume that it's going to work out the way that it does in your head.
It will be, you know, I'm always for making simple costumes. This will be the most ornate costume I have ever made. This is even more ornate than Arwen.
Good! We're getting you to beef up your skills.
Even the sheaths have ornamentation on it that the original Legolas knives did not have in the movie. I added to it.
Shinies everywhere.
As a side update, I just watched the latest episode of Ruby.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't say anything.
Please. Oh no, I'm not gonna say anything about the episode. Just
okay.
I have caught up, and I was thinking last night, it's like, okay, well, what sort of headpiece do I want to make for my Elven Ranger? Because I want to have a circlet of some sort. It's like, well, you know, I could make something kind of like Pyrrha's.
Yeah, you could.
Because it's very warrior-ish. And you'd make it out of a single layer of styrene, because that way it's still flexible. I can just wrap it around my head and buckle it.
Mm-hmm.
No ornamentation needed. Simple headband. I could draw Elven designs with fabric paint on it, but there's nothing to it. And I was like, huh, I could do that. And since I'm going to use the pattern again when I make Pyrrha, maybe I should keep the pattern around.
Hey!
There we go.
Not a bad idea. Reuse those patterns. Reuse them now.
I keep every single pattern I make. Every pattern I make, I keep it. They're all in a box. Two boxes. Want one large box, because some of my pattern pieces don't fit in a standard paper box unless I want to roll them. And even when I roll them, some of them still don't fit. And then there's the paper box for the smaller ones.
It's one of those things where, because I plan my costume so far out in advance, like I'm up to 2 years in advance. I mean, I know what I want to do in 2016. That's how far in advance I am. And I remake my pattern so often that I know if it's not something I'm going to be using the next 2 years, I just go ahead and dispose of it and I remake it. Because, again, I make all my patterns. I don't buy any of my patterns.
Oh, I keep all the remade ones, too.
See, that's just too much paper being used up and space being used. I like to get rid of them.
I make them out of muslin, and so I just roll them up and I put them in the same paper box as the original costume.
It's too much space being used.
Costumes do take up quite a bit of space since they each have a paper box. But that's okay. When I get my house, I will have more space. I will have an entire room that is for nothing but cosplay and crafting. So then use that for storage space. Yeah!
Cosplay house. It's not a house for you to live in. It's a house for you to do costumes in. That's what
it is a house for me to live in while I am making costumes. One comes before the other. It's pretty obvious what order they come in.
Costumes. To live in.
You know, it's one of those things, and this is my last statement because this is kind of going on a tangent, but...
It's what we do!
I live in a one-bedroom apartment. That basically means that my living room is my workspace. And since my living room is directly connected to my bedroom by nothing more than a door, that means there is no filtering. So whenever I'm sanding, working with Evafoam, carving, painting, anything, well, that particulate goes into my bedroom too. And if there are any sort of smells associated with what I'm doing, with whatever I'm working with, that smell also goes into my bedroom, even if I have ventilation on, just because that's the nature of physics. Air moves. And I don't like that. I really don't like having to use the same room that I'm supposed to use to entertain guests as my crafting workspace, because my crafting workspace tends to take over my living room 90% of the year. The only time it doesn't is when I have guests. So it would be really nice if I could have another room where I could just leave my mess open, but not have it affect the other rooms and the other functions of those rooms. That's really all I care about. You know, I have some sense of decorum, If people come over my house, I want them to see a nice house. I don't want them to see that I look like some sort of pig because I have cosplay stuff everywhere. But that's just me.
Whereas if they come over here, they're under the assumption that I have dogs and I do costuming stuff. So I'm just like, whatever.
Well,
it's nice enough, and I know
dogs
where
are a good
everything is.
excuse.
Yeah, dogs are a fantastic excuse. Mine aren't that bad, except for the sick one.
I had a cat outside my window last night.
Aww.
It was sitting on my patio ledge because I have probably the best view in the neighborhood. Because you can see the entire night sky from where I am, and you can look into the distance and see the city lights too. And so the cat just enjoys staring at the moon on my ledge. Unfortunately, it's the same cat that bit me.
I was about to ask you, is it the same one that potentially gave you rabies?
Yes, it is the same cat that bit me. That will be a scar on my leg for the rest of my life, incidentally, because they have not gone away, even though it has been a few months. It doesn't hurt, it's just scarred. Thanks, cat. But I was going to be nice, and I did not touch the cat, and I did not do anything to the cat, despite the fact it was taking over my ledge on my patio. Stupid cat.
No more petting the stray cats. I think Amber has learned a very valuable lesson.
I don't mind petting the cat. I just don't want the cat to bite me.
Given what happened last time, there's a good chance that it might do that again.
I'm not petting that cat. That does not discount all other cats. I am a cat person. I enjoy cats. I enjoy animals. I'm not petting that cat. That cat is getting nothing but a squirt bottle from me. And I do have one near my door. And I have a wooden staff, which I have used to keep that cat from going in my apartment. Because it tries whenever I open my door. It tries to go in, and I nudge it with the staff.
As silly as this all is, I think this is actually a perfect segue, because this is one of my purchases from DragonCon.
God, is that a tribble?
It shakes, it rattles.
Is it a vibrating tribble?
Yes, it is.
Oh my god.
Val
has a
myself.
Vibrating tribble.
There were larger ones and there were smaller ones. They even had a crane game of
okay.
Just the random tribbles, so yeah.
That would be a funny name for this episode, too. Vibrating
oh, no.
Tribble.
That's more like an after dark session, because that could be very dirty very quickly.
Well, the point of it is so that people will go in and listen to the episode to see why the heck is it called Vibrating Tribble.
There were larger ones. I thought about getting the larger one, but I was afraid of not being able to take it home with me because of luggage space and whatnot, so I felt the smaller one was very appropriate. And now I have a tribble. I've always wanted one.
That needs to sit on your desk at work.
And scare the living crap out of everybody who walks by it as I poke it and it starts vibrating.
Yes, but it would also make you happy because it would make you smile at the vibrating tribble. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, exactly. I would giggle at it every single time, and then
exactly.
Everybody would point out how weird I am.
And?
And.
So
we're just adding to the obvious, you know.
I have spread our website around to my coworkers. Thankfully, they no longer think costuming is weird.
Good. That's a good thing. However, my coworkers, I work in a very conservative office environment. That's not going
to
happen.
I do, too. I do, too, to an extent. But my coworkers are generally okay with it, although they do poke fun at me for being a semi-famous internet person. It's like, no, you don't understand. We're not aiming for the fame. We're aiming to spread the good word that is cosplay. That's it. It's not about us, it's about the thing.
The religion that is cosplay.
Yes. We are merely emissaries of the greatness that is cosplay.
Cosplay.
Why do I feel like this is going like Flying Spaghetti Monster places?
Oh, dude, I have lots of pictures of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Why does this not surprise me?
It was a very epic Flying Spaghetti Monster. She was a very epic Flying Spaghetti Monster. It was a she, no
I'm
less.
I'm sure she was.
I have many pictures of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. So, since we're on this train of thought, I will go over my lovely trip to DragonCon. I'm going to do something a little bit differently this time. I'm going to go over my purchases, which, of course, I got a triple, so cute. But we found some really nifty dealer's booths this year, and for the first time ever, I've actually got myself a prop model kit that I'm going to make. I know this is backwards because of the way that the camera is, but This is pretty much like fate. This is the cosplay gods telling me to make another Amidala costume.
It's right side up in the camera.
Oh, it is? On my screen, yeah. It looks so backwards.
No, it's right side up. It's legible.
It is legible? Okay, awesome sauce. Yeah. Sweetness. Because on mine, it's completely reverse and so backwards. I don't know why. Anyway, so yeah, the cosplay gods have basically told me that I need to make this. So this is being made. This is being done. And I was fairly surprised at the number of booths there that had, like, replica weapons, foam weapons, stuff like that. Lots of costume booths, too. Like, a ridiculous amount. So not so much in terms of, like, comic books, figurines, things of that nature that I would usually expect at, like, a comic convention. No, this was, like, mostly costuming stuff. How much costume crap can we throw on you, and what are you willing to buy? So, yeah, there's this giant booth that had nothing but replica weapons, all made out of resin, some made out of wood, stuff like that, and this became the purchase du jour. And then on top of that was probably one of the best artist alleys that I have ever been to before. Ever. They had a comic book alley, which included artists as well, connected to their art auction. So it was all basically one giant room. And you could circle between the two areas, and then some of the artists who had art pieces in the auction, you could also buy normal prints from them as well on the outer edges. So you were able to actually go through the exhibit, and then, oh, hey, if you want to buy just the normal print and not the uber-expensive canvas version, here's all the artists on the outside, which is exactly what I did, so I got myself some really nifty prints in the process. I know there's a glare on these. But it was just amazing for me to see the variety in the artists, unlike what we're typically used to seeing at anime conventions. Because usually you get, you know, Sailor Moon and blah, or, you know, Naruto and blah, and it's the same type of art style.
Popular.
Yeah, it's the same type of art style. This one, there was everything from pop art to traditional art, a lot of canvas art. I saw art being done out of fabric, like fabric actually being incorporated into the canvas material. A lot of horror art, some gore art. As well as puppetry. Lots of puppetry, too. So it was just a cool mixture of so many different things that it was just like, this is what art's supposed to be. It shouldn't be just about what's popular right now. There's other stuff going on in the universe, kids. So, yeah, this is what prompted me to buy all these lovely, lovely little prints, and I have to buy some of his stuff. Like, he's got full-on canvases. They're in the shape of coffins. It's really cool, like, fantasy horror art, which sounds very weird, but it's really cool looking, and I wish I had space in my bag to actually take one of those home with me, because they are so epically awesome.
Listeners, that was horror, not
horror. Not horror, yeah. H-O-R-R-O-R.
It's not fantasy horror art, no. Horror.
I'm sure there was some of that there, too. I would not be surprised.
For the over 18 crowd.
Dragon Con is definitely the over 18 crowd. That's for certain. See, my trip is done. I didn't get a whole lot, but you know what? This is probably one of the coolest little badges that I've ever had. And even better because Michael's...
Don't sit back a little bit because of the glare.
Yeah, because of the glare. Can you see it a little bit better?
Yeah, that's much better.
It has a shiny side. But because of Michael's was sponsoring the event, I got a 15% coupon off my entire purchase at Michael's. Yeah, buddy. I will definitely be using that this week. I've been told that it works at any Michael's location. We will find out. As long as they don't confiscate my badge. If they take my badge, F them. No, I want my badge. I'm keeping it. The badge stays with me, punks. All right, so I've decided I'm going to do this review a little bit differently from how we typically do it. I'm basically going to do it as like a list style. The 11 things I have learned about Dragon Con. Be amazed and enjoy this mess. So we've already told you guys about where to find all the photos. You can find a chunk of them on our Facebook page, and I've got a link to Flickr, which is going to have a huge plethora of them, probably 1,500-plus photos of you just to kind of surf through and enjoy everything that is Dragon Con. But instead of doing a day-by-day replay of everything, I thought, hey, let's go forward the things that I learned about Dragon Con and maybe spread some love to the listeners. Maybe you'll be influenced to attend next year or the year after that, assuming you can get a hotel room. That's always the hard part of going to Dragon Con. Okay, so the first thing that I have learned about Dragon Con, it is fucking hot. There's a reason why this city is called Hotlanta. And I have to give massive props to anybody who is wearing anything other than a t-shirt and a pair of shorts, because you were always sweating. The heat there is comparable to the heat here in the DFW area, but it's got the humidity of like a city in Mississippi. So you squish the two together and you are constantly hot and constantly sweating, and there is no way to avoid it.
Dallas is humid, not like Atlanta.
Atlanta is
extremely humid.
It is ridiculously humid. I thought after the first day that I was going to be okay. I was walking around in my normal clothes like, okay, I can handle this, because it was maybe about 88 on average every day. That's not bad at all. I've dealt with so much worse here. Yeah, as soon as I got in costume, that went out the window so quickly. What I can say is be prepared to wash every single one of your costumes when you get home. If you're one of those people like me where you wear it maybe two times before you wash it, like you dry cloth it the first time after wearing, no, you're going to have to wash your costumes because you will be sweating through everything. Guaranteed. So be prepared. Be very, very prepared. And on that note, the second thing I've learned is that there is a smell that is very unique to Dragon Con and Atlanta. I can't really describe the smell. It doesn't float everywhere in the city, but you will stumble across it from time to time. I think it's a mixture of sweat, fanboyism, probably large costumes, the streets of the city, and probably fangirl tears. And that basically encompasses the scent that is Atlanta and Dragon Con. There are a lot of open areas where you can kind of get away from the scent, but every now and then you walk through it and you're like, wow. I thought Con Funk was bad. There were just times where I was like, okay, this is terrible. So yes, there's a very unique smell to Dragon Con. Be prepared for it. I see Amber giggling.
I have to remember, because somebody posted a picture of the Febreze fairy.
Yes, which on was Cosplay in America.
Fairy that had a bandolier of Febreze bottles.
Fantastic.
Which I will say, while I appreciate the creativity of the costume, and I really did like the costume, please don't go around cons spraying Febreze, even if there is Con Funk, and that's simply because there are some people who will have an anaphylactic reaction to it. Some people are genuinely allergic to Febreze. So, you know, safety announcement, please be careful.
Be careful with your Febreze. While it's good in theory, I don't mind using it if I'm in my room and I'm just doing a quick brush over my costume, let it settle. And then
which
I'll take it out.
You might want to do right after you're done wearing it. You know, if you can't wash it, you may wish to Febreze it.
Especially in Atlanta. Man, I'm glad I brought my little mini Febreze with me. Okay, third thing that I have learned. Even though the hotels at DCon are some of the coolest looking areas that I have ever seen, they're just like all the others with the ugly yellow lights and the carpet. You can never, ever, 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 ever escape the yellow lights at any convention. So you'll see a lot of my photos will have the ugly yellow light, and I apologize. I tried to color correct some, and then I just stopped caring. So yes,
fluorescent lighting is cheap.
It is
cheap.
That's
why they all do it.
Plentiful.
Yes, that is why they all do it. Every place known to man, unless it is specifically built for photography, is yellow.
Yeah, notoriously, the everything in the Hilton, which is the gaming area of the convention, had really crappy carpet. And then the lower levels of the Hilton, after you go down below the bars, had the really crappy lighting and the crappy carpet. So you were just kind of go with your gut and hope that you got a good photo out of it. Didn't help with the people who had the nice like yellow and red costumes. There was one in particular that I felt really bad about because I was like, man, you look so pretty, but this photo looks terrible because of the carpet. I'm sorry. It is what it is. All right, the fourth thing that I have learned. It is impossible to see everything at Dragon Con. The convention of that size, there's only so much that you can see. And when you've accepted the fact that you can't see everything, you'll actually find you have a lot more enjoyable experience out of it. If you really, 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 really want to make it to a particular panel, plan to get in line about 3 hours in advance. And the only time that that rule goes out the window is when it hits Monday, because nobody's there on Monday. Everybody's packing up ready to leave. Blah. So yeah, just plan out in advance as much as you can. It's just like every other convention. If you really want to see something, get in line about 3 hours in advance, and you'll probably get a seat.
Some panels are more than that. For some of the more popular panels, you can literally spend your entire day on one panel. One, as in you wait in line for, you know, 5 or 6 hours, then you get into said, you know, 1 hour, 2 hour panel. By the time that's done, it's like, okay, well, it's dinner time.
Pretty much.
So, you know, you really want to go to that panel.
Exactly. When we were standing in line for the Sunday Masquerade, which is the big masquerade contest, we were talking to a girl who had been standing in line to see the Carrie Elwes panel. She had been there since 8 a.m. that morning, and that panel started at like 7 in the evening. She wanted to be the first one in line, and that panel line cut off maybe about 4 hours before the panel. The same thing with the Patrick Stewart panel. She was the very first one in line at the Patrick Stewart panel. She slept there overnight to make sure that she could be the first one in. And it was just like, wow. Which is funny because DragonCon actually has in their rules, very specifically, it says you're not allowed to line up for a panel until an hour before the panel. Clearly they don't enforce that rule.
A lot of cons don't, but I've noticed more cons putting that into their language, even though it's not actually enforced.
It's not really enforced. Funny enough, Dallas Comic Con, which is one thing I really appreciate about them, they're one of the few that actually enforces that rule, and I immensely appreciate it. It gives everyone equal opportunity to, one, enjoy the con, two, actually be a part of the panel, because some of us like want to do other things and sit in line all day long. That's not why we paid the ticket. You know? That's just me.
Plus, it helps if you're volunteering for the con. You don't want to have to worry about spending all those hours waiting in line. I mean, if you're going to give your time to the con, do that. Then be able to go to your panel and only have to wait, you know, for an hour.
An hour or so, exactly. That's how it should be. So, yeah, it seems like, though, on average, if you give yourself about 3 hours, you can pretty much get into any event that you want to get into. Just plan accordingly. All right, fifth thing that I have learned, the DragonCon app is probably the most fantastic convention app I have ever laid my eyes on, and it will save you so many headaches. It's not like Guidebook. It's specific for DragonCon, and it updates you throughout the weekend of any scheduled changes, assuming that you can get a Wi-Fi signal, because holy crap, that's 60,000 people in one area, and it prompts you for any type of news or updates throughout the year, including when a hotel is open for registration. Like, all of the hotel regs have been popping up on my phone app, and it's like, wow, okay, cool. I don't have to go hunting around. It's like, it's all right there for me.
I've read people that have already registered for next year.
Oh, yeah, I tried Thursday, I had no luck because the website kept crashing. Woohoo! Yay, Passkey. Passkey sucks. They also have a really cool layout with the way that they do their maps, that they're very interactive, that you can poke on one and it'll tell you exactly where you are and how you get to said panel or how you get to said room. I'm like, why does Guidebook not have this crap yet? It's so awesome. So if you go, get the DragonCon app. It's a little bit large, I will not lie, because it has so much stuff in it, but it's totally worth it and will save you a ton of headaches.
The difference is that DragonCon actually has its own team of developers that write their app for them, whereas Guidebook is pretty much a one-size-fits-all, and they're trying to keep it small. I mean, even for enterprise customers, they try and keep their app very compact, and I really wish they had that function where it would tell you where you are and then how to get to where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Even offline, that's what I'm most concerned with, because not everybody has cell data on their plan, if you can even get online. And Wi-Fi is pretty much non-existent in a lot of these hotels, even if there's not that many people. A lot of hotels really don't have great Wi-Fi. They're basically giant Faraday cages.
Pretty much.
So you can't depend on Wi-Fi either. So, you know, convention heads and convention staff, if you guys watch this, as fans, we really would love to have an app that is usable offline. I mean, yeah, you give up updates for that, but let us use it offline for those
Absolutely.
That can't access it online. And having that map function is completely invaluable, especially if your con grows to the point where you're in multiple hotels. And you're like me and you get lost a lot.
Yeah, especially in that city when you're not, when you've never been there before, even though the layout is a lot easier than downtown Dallas, just being able to understand, okay, which hotel is here, how do I get from up there to down there, just being able to click once or twice on the app and not have to worry about it being online or anything and know where to go, it was a godsend. It made things so much easier. Holy crap. So if you go, download the app. It'll make your life a million times easier. All right. Sixth thing that I have learned, probably one of the most relaxing and entertaining things you can do at Dragon Con is to people watch. Find an empty spot in the Marriott, which is like the Uber hotel of all things Dragon Con, like on a Saturday or Sunday night. Get yourself a drink and just sit and watch people for the rest of the evening. You're going to see some of the best and coolest and most creative costumes that way. And because it's so ugging freaking hot outside, you're inside. You're cooled. And surprisingly, it was actually pretty cool inside. It's only when you're in the massive throng of people going down corridors that you felt the heat. But for the most part, if you're just sitting and relaxing, you pretty much felt AC the entire time. So, and for us, that's probably one of the better experiences was after the masquerade on Sunday, we just sat down, we relaxed, we watched people, got a ton of photos that way, and it was just fun. And that's the cool thing about Dragon Con is just watching people as they interact with everybody else, as they put on their costumes, as they pose for photos and all that stuff. So people watch, fun thing to do. The seventh thing that I have learned is hit up at least one of the Dragon Con parties. And we opted for the aquarium party because it's the aquarium. I have to go to the aquarium. The aquarium is my thing. And for us, that was a huge amount of fun. Dragon Con sponsors probably 12 to 15 parties throughout the weekend.
I was going to say, just as an aside, there are public parties that
yes.
anyone can go to that the con actually sponsors. And they publicly announce these. And they say, here are parties. We are providing X for you, food, drink, mm-hmm. whatever. This is different from the private parties, which are, you know, their own thing. DragonCon has public parties.
They do have public parties, and there are a lot of bars in the area and downtown, like music places. There was a karaoke bar that was good for all ages, so even the little kids could come in and do stuff there too. But the aquarium party is DragonCon sponsored, and there was an additional fee to go in, so it was public but private. So there was a limited number of people who could actually go in. And for this case, I think it was like 3,000 people could only attend. But yeah, if you get a chance to go, at least hit up one of the parties. And all of them, I've been told, are fun. And really, it's just about meeting new people, chatting, relaxing, having fun, being goofy. A lot of the times, they'll have just random giveaways. You'll meet some gaming developers and comic book artists this way. Like, I knew people who were up in the VIP booth and who met the developers for Mass Effect 4, and I was like, you guys suck. You're awesome and cool. Why couldn't you bring them down here so I could meet them? Because I was being cheap and didn't want to pay for the VIP pass. And really, it's just about mingling and having fun. And I've yet to hear any bad experiences from any of the parties that were going on over the weekend. So do at least one party. Again, I prefer the aquarium, but I took like 1,000 photos there. So I don't know any better. All right, the eighth thing that I have learned. If you get a chance to actually join in on the parade, do it. And for me, that was probably one of my highlights of the weekend. Because it made me smile so flippin' much just to see all the costumers interact with the crowd and see the kids waving at you and telling you how cool your costume is. And
can
Saturday,
you explain a little about the parade? Like what the parade is?
Yes, yes, yes. So the Dragon Con parade, if you're oblivious to everything and don't know what it is, it's basically they shut down a portion of Atlanta, and the city of Atlanta is involved in all of this, for costumers to come together and walk around and people can take their photos and stuff. So think of like the Macy's Day Thanksgiving parade, but for cosplayers. And that's basically what you get in downtown Atlanta. It takes maybe about 2 hours on Saturday morning, a little bit longer for the costumers because you got to arrive early and all that stuff. And it's a wide variety of costumes. So you have everything from, you know, Star Wars and the Stormtroopers to video game characters. There was a Halo group. We had a Borderlands group. I know that there was one.
I saw a Lord of the Rings group.
Yes, there was a Lord of the Rings group.
Oh, it was so
definitely
good.
A Lord of the Rings group. There was a group that was specifically for like the miniature cars. So we had like the carpet Jeep going, and then we had, you know, Barbie ones. We had like the mini Jurassic Park Jeeps there too. So yeah,
these are Power Wheels, guys. These are
Power Wheels. The mini Jeeps. They were so awesome. So yeah, it's just nothing but like 2 hours of fun and getting the kids involved who are always smiling and laughing and all that. And I think for me, the coolest part, there were two instances of this. We saw two kids dressed up as Darth Vader and a Stormtrooper. So myself and then another guy that I was with who's also a bad guy, we went up to them to kind of play with them a little bit, and they force choked us, so we fake play dead after that. That was fun. The other fun part was I saw a little girl who's dressed up as a clone trooper, which for me it's like, ah, squeeze, little girl's dressing up like clone troopers. That makes me happy. So I went up to her. I took her hand and I said, thank you for being a stormtrooper. You're awesome. And as I was walking away, she turned around. She was like, mommy, that person is so cool. I want to be like her. I was like, oh my God, my day is made. So yeah, just doing things like that and getting kids to smile was
start
like
the next generation off right.
Exactly. It was like the best day ever. It was so much fun, and I would do it again in a heartbeat, even with all the heat. So there we go. All right. So number 9 thing that I've learned, and I kind of said this already, is Dragon Con is like every other con in that the very last day there, which for them is Monday, it is the quietest day ever. So if you want to wear an uber cool costume and you're afraid of getting lost in the crowd amongst everybody else, wear it on Monday. You'll be the only person. You'll have tons of photos of you taken because everybody's checking out by then. By the way, their checkout system at all the hotels is ridiculously efficient. I saw like nobody there. There were no lines, nothing. Like everybody was in, out, done. No hassle, no fuss. Cool stuff. But it's also a good time to check out the dealer's room as well as the artist room because, again, nobody's there. Good chance that you may not be able to pick up something because a lot of stuff is sold out over the weekend. You know, Saturday and Sunday are the heavy days. Of course, it's a 4-day weekend. But it's easier to move around in. It's easier to pick things up. It's easier to get deals and steals. So it's just like every other convention. Monday is the best time to do stuff and go to panels and whatnot. Because there are a couple of celebrity guests who do stick around for Monday. They do the whole 4-day thing. So take advantage of the fact that you don't have to wait in line. Do everything on Monday. All right, so the 10th thing that I have learned. For as big of a convention as Dragon Con is, it still has the small con charm, which is very weird when you think about it. 60,000 people, how can it feel like a small con? I don't know what it was, but it seemed like throughout the weekend I was running into the same group of people and to a lot of my friends constantly. We would say hi in the morning, and then like 4 hours later we would meet up at lunch and be like, oh hi, you're here too, yay, let's eat together. And then 4 hours later we would just randomly meet up again while we're standing in line. It was happening every day, and it was craziness, and I was not expecting that to happen. It just keep running into the same people, and it was fun, and it was like a weekend-long party with friends that you kept running into constantly. So that was nice. Usually that doesn't happen to us. It's only like at like AllCon or even at GlitchCon where something is really, really small and tight-knit that you get the same cycle happening. I was surprised that it kept happening there. Helps that there's only 3 main hotels that people go through. You just kind of run your way through them constantly. All right. And the 11th thing that I have learned, so there's 10, there's 11, which is also kind of a service announcement to anime conventions, learn from Dragon Con about their registration system. I spent more time getting from my hotel to the hotel where the line was than actually picking up my badge. It took me 2 minutes to get my badge, and I was on the busiest day of them handing out their badges. 2 minutes to pick this sucker up. That's it. Anime conventions. And look, it even has my name on it. Okay, you can kind of see it. There you go. It has my name on it. Anime conventions. Learn how to do this, please. There is no reason for us to be standing in line for 4 to 6 hours. Ever.
I don't think it's so much that they don't know how to do it. I think that I think they know how to do it. I think the issue is logistics and price. Because Dragon Con makes a heck of a lot of money.
They do.
They can afford. In fact, they have their own custom registration system written for them. I think if anime conventions could do that, I think a lot more of them would. But it's not cheap to hire a development team to write that stuff for you.
It isn't, but I don't know. I mean, having been to other, like just in general, comic book conventions that were much smaller, I mean, way smaller than some of the anime cons that we've been to.
Oh, sure.
They do the same thing very, very easily. They don't have outside programs. They have to use the same stuff as everybody else. But, again, I've never had to wait more than 5 minutes in a line to pick up my badge or my wristband. It seems to be only at anime conventions that this is the issue. And here's the thing. It wasn't like Dragon Con had a ginormous room of 500 booths where you could pick up your badge. I think there may be 10 booths total, which is about normal for most conventions of like 25 to 50,000 people. And it was just constant movement. I never stopped once. So something is wrong. Something needs to be fixed. Anime conventions need to learn from this because it seems to be only at anime conventions that I have this problem. Everywhere else, no issues. So please learn, and it doesn't have to be your own freaking system. I honestly, most of us don't care about having personalized badges. Just give me the badge. I want to keep moving. Thank you. So yes, there we go. So there are the 11 things that I've learned about Dragon Con. I hope you enjoyed that massive insanity. And pictures to come.
More pictures.
More pictures. We need more pictures.
Yes, because there are already many, many pictures out there.
Oh my goodness, so many. But yeah, I'm hoping to go back next year. It was a lot of fun. Definitely didn't even do a fraction of the things that I had hoped to have done, but that's okay. That it made it even more enjoyable. Totally worth it, man. Totally worth it.
The only thing that I have an issue with Dragon Con is that Dragon Con and PAX Prime are on the same weekend.
Yeah, that
and
was
as a gamer and nerd, I feel like I shouldn't have to choose between the two.
It's hard. It is hard. As we were standing in line for the masquerade, the people that we were with, he was actually on his phone. He actually was able to go down to 3G. Yeah, by the way, if you're at Dragon Con, make sure you can go down to 3G because nobody's on the 3G. Everybody's on 4G. Therefore, you're likely to get a signal and can actually access the internet. Anyway, so he was giving us PAX Prime updates while we were standing in line, and I was like, okay, at least we got something. And there's a little bit of gaming that goes on at Dragon Con, but not anywhere near the level that I'm used to. Their gaming section was a little disappointing, to be honest. It was mostly tournament play, not freebie play. And their console gaming room was so tiny by comparison to even Acon standards, which was very disappointing. We weren't too happy about that, but it is what it is.
So we know you're going back next year.
I hope so. The hard part is getting the hotel. I'm not concerned about flight or, you know, buying the badge, because you can buy your badge the day of. They don't have a cap on badge limit. It's hotel. Hotel is the tough part. And considering all the walking that we were doing, I would much rather be as close to the primary host hotels as possible so I can bring out my nice big poofy costume, because that was the one thing I really wanted to do, was bring one of my nice big dresses out. But in doing so, I know that means that I have to find a spot in the Marriott and just stand there, and I can't move, because if I move, it's either going to damage my outfit, or I'm going to get trampled over, or I'm going to get really hot really fast. So hotel is the issue. Hotel is the issue. We'll see what happens. Woo. But yes, it was loads of fun. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It's one of those things where I didn't want to leave. It was the weekend that I needed as a nice break from reality. Because my life has been crap the last month, and it hasn't been starting out very well this month with dog being sick and having to go through so many medical bills with him. So yeah, it was a welcome break from reality that I didn't want to end. It was the party that kept on going. And even if you're not a drinker, because I couldn't drink, I'm on health restrictions, and most alcoholic beverages are made out of wheat. I can't have anything with wheat in it. So even though I didn't drink it all over the weekend, I still had a blast. And it's notoriously called Drinking Con. You don't have to drink to have fun there, I promise. I'm proof of it. Totally worth it. Oh my God, so worth it. It's like a 5-year-old kid in a candy store. I've always wanted to go. Now I've been. Next up's going to be Anime Expo. Good luck with that.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got.
We are actually right at an hour.
That Woo! That's never happened before.
A good time to go ahead and put an end to this particular episode of CosPod.
That's never happened. Yay! I timed right.
So as always, if you guys want to get a hold of us through social media, you are more than welcome to. In fact, you'll probably get an answer from both of us individually. We will have a contest between now and the end of the year. We don't know what it is yet, but if you guys have suggestions, we are always open to them. There may or may not be a CosPod event held on Halloween. That is in planning stages, just to see if it's even feasible.
As I tap my finger, hang on a second. I did get the day off of work, so
I have to work, but that's the day that I hand over the on-call to the next person.
Oh, fantastic.
So I have to celebrate that night. And it's like, well, it's on a Friday night.
I know. The most mischief can happen.
Yes. So there may be something sponsored by CosPod that night. We will see. It will be announced within the next 2 weeks if it is possible. It's more finding a place to be able to do it. So keep an eye on our website and our social media for that. But otherwise, we will see you guys in episode 72.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.